That dream has from your mercy. Let me peace from the Father's supply. One more time. Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from mountain. Let me peace from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity, for this privilege to come together, Lord, and to worship you in spirit and in truth, to worship you in the power of your resurrection. Lord, to recognize you, Lord, that you have come in this day, to recognize your presence, Lord, to see you revealing yourself in and through your bride. Lord, we just, you heard the prayer requests that have went up, Lord. May you just bless each one now. And Lord, we commit each to you, asking that you would just raise them up, strengthen them. And Lord, just have your way with every heart as you know each one, Lord. As we commit all to you now, for we ask all in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. And we do want to continue to hold up Brother Richard and Sister Edith, and I'm sure that she's there with him, making it possible for him to listen in tonight. And then Brother Michael has been struggling, and want you, I don't know if Brother Goomba knew, but I want you to remember Sister Rhonda. She had oral surgery, and so she is going to be recovering for quite some time. It'll be some weeks, but we think she'll be able to get out. Hopefully by Sunday, she'll be able to get back out. And so we're praying that the Lord will make that possible for her. And we'd like you to continue to remember my mother. Now, we want to remind you that we're going to be having a dinner on Sunday, and that Brother Goomba is getting ready to go. And I kept thinking, it just kept bothering me, and so I guess it just sometimes you feel things bothering you, you feel like maybe that's the Lord trying to tell you something. And so I just felt like that having his last service on Wednesday night, and Wednesday sometime, you know, it's a little bit harder because it's night and school and all of those things. Usually we a little bit shorter service maybe, and so I wanted him to be free and to have time to say what was on his heart. And so I asked him if he wanted to take Sunday, one or the other or both, and so he's going to take Sunday morning, and I think that'll be good because maybe we'll have some visitors, and he can preach, and then also they can come and have some fellowship with him. And I think that'll be a blessing to all. And so we want to be looking forward to that. And I guess the sisters will get to gather for the food. And whoever usually does that, we don't usually get tangled up in that. So we just thank God. And it's always, the sisters always do such a good job. And it's always such a blessing. And we really appreciate it. So now, once again, Brother Goomba, he's getting ready to travel, so we want to continue to be in prayer concerning that and support him every way that we can. And we're just believing that God is going to come back with a great testimony of the things that God did and the hearts that God moved upon. And we believe somewhere there'll be some seed. They're going to be quickened to life. Amen. And that's what thrills us. That's what stirs our hearts. That's what makes us do all the things that we do, is just that one great blessing, is to see a seed of God quickened and to come forth. Amen. So now we want to get right into the message here. And so I I had a couple of things. Yeah, so I got in a hurry on Sunday morning. I went over. I'm sorry for that. And I'll do my best not to do that tonight. But so at the end there, I kind of got in a rush. And there was some, I hate rushing when it's really good quotes. And I know they're all good, but some of it, there's just some things in there that are just special to us. And so I just really, really cut this as best I could just to reread the last two or three quotes. So I just want to get some of the main points there because I wanted to be on your mind. And I wanted to, you can read over it many times and let it be those things that really stick with you because it means something. So let's just start with this first. This was in, I think, God's Chosen Place of Worship. Yeah, God's Only Provided Place of Worship in 1965. This was right at the end. This was in November 28th, and he was at Shreveport, Brother Jack Moore's place, and so he had been doing that for several years. They would have that week of Thanksgiving, and so some great messages were preached there, especially the last year. He just was, those last days, he would just have to unload it because the time was short. And so this is, he says here now, the seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. And we read this Sunday, and so I didn't elaborate on it, but I always love these kind of quotations. I love these kind of things when he's saying this because he knows there's seven seals. He knows. He's not, it's not a mistake. He's not, he didn't forget one of the seals. He knows what he's saying. And he's saying it to get our attention. And he says it more than one time. He says it in other places. He talks about the sixth seal mystery, right? And then he talks about the seal. And so I always like to point that out because it means something. He's letting us know that the sixth seal mystery, and he's going to say it here that, or he said it, I might have cut it out, but anyways, he talks about it's those things that was happening through the seven church ages, and it opens it all up and reveals the whole thing, and then that closes it, that closes the church ages. The church ages are done. And so then he comes and he reveals the seventh seal, and he begins to talk about the seventh seal. So the seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. And so who opened the seventh seal? It was Christ. It was the Lamb. It was the Lion. It was his only one. He's the only one that could do it. He's the one that took the book. And he's the one that come. And so he was the mystery. And he revealed the mystery by bringing it to pass. See, it's all to be gathered up in the Son of Man. See? It's all to be gathered up in the Son of Man. His fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word. His fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word to manifest the fullness of his body. Is that right? It's come to manifest the fullness of his body. That's the word. Then that's the spoken word made manifest by the word. That's the spoken word made manifest by the word to reveal the word. That's what it's been. That's what it was. That's what it had been all through the ages. And now in this age comes the fullness of it, the capping of it, the completion of it, the climax of it, of the whole thing now. So as the body had been building, now it comes to its fullness. And so he's telling us his fullness of time has come to the fullness of his word to manifest the fullness of his body. And that's the spoken word made manifest by the word. Yes. Paragraph 261. Now, see, you are a son of God in the house of God. You are a part of God's economy. You're a part of that. See? And then Romans 8:1 said, then there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, for they are dead to the world and alive in him, living in this present day, making the word of God the word that God has used them for. What did he use Adam for? The word of that day. He used him for that fall. He used him for that to save his wife. He used him to manifest that promise for that day. What did he use Moses for? The same thing, to manifest that part of the word in his day. What did he do with Noah? Manifest the word for that day. All the time, the word was coming forth. And then now we can look back on it and see what it was. For they were dead to the world and alive in him, and living in this present day, making the word that God has used them for, ordained them, see, placing their names in the bride book. What did he do? He ordained you for this day. He ordained you for this manifestation. He ordained you to be a part of the seventh seal. He ordained you to be a part of the fullness of the body, the fullness of the revelation, the fullness of the climax of what God had been doing all the time. We're blessed to be that. See? Placing their names in the bride book. And when the waters come upon that seed, see, that's in the heart, it raises it up to the bride of Christ. Just as perfect as it can be in every age. It's been that way. Praise God. See? And now, we come to the head, the capstone. The headstone's crying what? It's crying grace, grace. Pass from death and creed into a living word of the living God. That's where we're living. That's our promise today, is we have passed from death, spiritual death. We've passed from that. Why? Because we were caged. We were, Brother Branham said, it was just a cage of every foul bird, of everything, of what the denominations and what the theologians and what the churches had done. And he came to set us free, to set the bride free from all of those things. And so he's opened the door. And now there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. You have been set free from that. Every bit of it. See, into a living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for his age. Now we've talked about, he's going to say here the word age. And we talked about the bride age. We talked about the rapture age and the rapturing age and the climax age. And all these different ages. And here he's calling it his age. See, God's only provided plan for his age. This is his age. This is his time. This is his time that he promised to come on the scene once again and manifest himself in the fullness of his word, in the fullness of his spirit. See, God's only provided plan for his age, his sons in the word age. See, that's his age. He's the word. And so now his sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit and seated now in heavenly places in present tense, already alive and subject to every promise in the word. Now he's going to say that twice in this little bit of reading, present tense. But he said it many times throughout the message, present tense. He's wanting you to know it's now. It's the same thing he was saying when he was in it's the rising of the sun, and he was saying, not you're going to be resurrected. He said, you are resurrected. You are right now resurrected. Why? Because the word in you has been quickened to life, and it's Christ, the word, the spirit, being made manifest in the body, predestinated for this day. Praise be to God. See, seated now in heavenly places in present tense, already alive and subject to every promise in the word. We need to say that every day. We need to say it. We're subject to every word, every word. That's our promise. And that word, we're a part of it. And so it has to, that word says that it is going to manifest in this bride. It says that you ask whatever you will and it will be. That's the word. That's the promise to the bride in this day. That's what he said. You ask whatever you will and it will be. And we know how it works. He told them, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss. Is that right? He said, either they ask amiss or they don't ask. But when you ask according to the word, and the word is in you, you're going to ask right. And it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen in you. It can't be anything else because it's the word of God. If you believe the rest of it, you got to believe that. Somehow, over the years, sometimes we lay those things aside. But he's already given the key. He's already explained how it works. And when he's explained how it works, then you got to leave off the old idea how it works, and you got to take the key, and now you can open the door. There's a way to do it. I had to run out today on a job because they was having problems, and I had to go by there, and I went over here to this Governor's Island in Denver, and it's a gated community, and so you have to put in the code. And so I was putting in the code, and the gate wouldn't open. And I put it in again, it wouldn't open. Put it in again, it wouldn't open. It's kind of awkward reaching out my truck, and I had to close the mirrors in and all that to get to this thing. So I backed up, I got out, and I'm standing there trying to do it. And so what I did wrong was you put the number in. Actually, it's the person's name. They do it by name, which will equate to a number. But then they do the hash. They do the hash. But instead of doing the hash at the end, they do the hash at the beginning. So instead of putting in the four digits or letters or numbers, whatever, however you want to look at it, and then do hash, it's at the beginning. And most of the other places that I have like that, is they do the hash at the end or an asterisk. And so I did it about 10 times, and I'm like, what is the problem with this? And then there were some workers out there, and I told them, I asked them, come over there and open the gate. And so they gave me the code again, and so I did it, and they gave me their code. Theirs is different than mine, and it wouldn't work. I said, it's not working. He said, did you put the hash? I said, yeah, I put the hash. He said, did you put it at the beginning? I said, no, I put it at the end. And so you can't misplace this thing. You can't use your idea. You can't go by what they were thinking for seven church ages, for 2,000 years. You can't come like that. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. When we come the right way, when we put everything just the way God said it, it's going to happen just the way God said it. That it has to. God made it. He promised it. And God is manifesting it. He wants it manifested. It's got to be manifested. It didn't matter how much Moses cried. It didn't matter how much Elijah fussed. It didn't matter. God was going to bring them to it, and they were going to do it God's way. It didn't matter. Nothing else mattered. What God had in his mind before the foundation of the world, that's what this bride is going to manifest. And you're not going to do it any other way than just how God had it planned out. And so Satan thinks he can work it around and do something else. It ain't going to work. It won't work. Theology won't work. See? Then what does that do? See? Let me read that again. Seated now in heavenly places in present tense. Not going to be. Present tense. Right now. Seated in heavenly places. See? Already alive and subject to every promise in the word. Then what does it do? You being part of God's gene, a part of the word, and other men a part of God's word, seated together in present tense, seated together right now in this age, the word of this age, it manifests the entire body of Christ because there's no leaven among you. Because there's no what? There's no filler. There's no leaven. There's no nothing that anybody has added. It's just pure word. That's the promise. That's what it has to be now. Because that's what God intended, and that's what God is getting. And that's what he's making happen. Listen, 264. No leaven among you. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. You know, this is powerful. And it makes me think that people don't believe this. And now there some people are trying to say it, but just not too many years ago, people couldn't even say it. They couldn't say this. This was only one time 2,000 years ago in the days of Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so then when it began to be recognized in this day, people didn't recognize how it could be. How could this be? Because I'm not the fullness. You're not the fullness. But He's the fullness. And He promised that He was going to manifest Himself in His body. That fullness. In Luther's day, it was manifesting in the body. It was in the body. There was people living on the earth, and they were receiving the revelation, and they were manifesting the revelation for that day. But it wasn't in its fullness. They just had a piece of it. They had justification. And they were living off of that. And they were bold with that. They were standing upon that. They it was quickened to them that this wine or this juice is not the literal body of Jesus Christ. They got that revelation and they stood against it. They got the revelation that these priests could not make this bread into the literal body of Jesus Christ. They couldn't do it. No, the revelation was in simplicity, just like it is today. The revelation was that it represented the body of Christ. Well, that should have just been common sense, right? That's just common sense. But the priest had so deceived the people, just like in this day. The people are so deceived in this last day by traditions and church ideas and all these things until they hold on to that until they have a hard time letting go of it. And it's Satan. It's Satan has a hold on people. But when this word, when this spirit, and today it's not coming forth in a part. It's not coming forth and giving you a little bit. It's coming forth and you're a part of the fullness. The fullness is here today. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Praise be to God. Couldn't do it in Luther's day. It couldn't do it in Wesley's day. And it couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man will be manifested, in the day when the Son of Man would be revealed, see, brought back the church to gather with the entire deity of God amongst His people. That's where we are. And that's you. If it seems hard to believe it, if it seems, then the best way to fix that problem is just read it and say it every day. Every day. Watch what happens. You have a hard time with something. You think, Lord, I don't understand it. Just keep saying it. You know this is the word. You know this is God speaking. Just keep saying it. This. The promise was in Luke 17 that in the day when the Son of Man would be revealed. In the day when the Son of Man would be revealed. And He's been revealed. He's been revealed. He'd come back as the Son of Man. He came back as a prophet. And brought back the church together. How do you bring it together? With a shout. With a message. To gather the people together. And He gathered them together. Just like we read the other day. Where the tares had to be bound together. And how were they bound together? He told us how they were bound. If people are looking for another way. People are looking for another way. He told us that World Council of the Churches was the binding of the tares. It was just calling them and bringing them together. And binding them together. Making them one. What was it making them one for? The burning. To burn them for the judgment, for destruction, for spiritual death. See, showing the same. Let me pick up. See, brought back the church together with the entire deity of God amongst His people. Showing the same visible signs and manifesting himself like he did at the beginning when he was manifested on the earth in a form of a prophet God. See? Glory. Promised by Malachi 4, promised by the rest of the scriptures. Where do you worship at? The house of God, seated in present tense. That's where you worship at. In God's economy, in God's kingdom, in God's presence, in the atmosphere, in the Word, in the Spirit. The true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. Where's he at? He's in you. He's in you. That's the promise. I can remember about, and I don't know how long it was, but we had just come here. So we've been here about 40 years. And so it was about 35 years ago, I think, there was a man who came through. He was a preacher, but he didn't preach. But he had used to go to church here at Brother Holmes's, and he left. I don't know if it was Christmas or something got him, and he went away. But anyways, and so we were standing outside, and there were some brothers talking, and he was saying, one of the biggest mistakes of the message people today is for them to say that they are God, that them and God are one. And back then I thought, I was just kind of like, I was just a baby. I mean, I didn't know. So I knew that that was something you would have to be careful about saying, because you're not going to, you don't want to go around saying that you were God. But then after a while, he keeps saying it. He keeps saying it. And who's he? God. God keeps saying it. God keeps saying the same thing. And saying the same thing, that you're going to do the same thing he did. And in those days, the only thing we thought about was raising the dead, healing the sick, doing those things. But there was something so much greater that was just the gift. That was just something to get the people's attention. But there was something so much greater that Jesus was doing that we were going to do also, and we are doing. And that is that he didn't do anything until the Father showed him. Is that right? You're not going to do anything until he shows you. And how's he going to show you? It's going to be right here. It's going to be right here in this revelation that he came and revealed. It's not going to be in the revelation of another day. Not going to be in the revelation of the seven church ages or any other prophet. No, it's going to be right here, the spoken word for this day, that God himself come down in the fullness, and revealed himself to his body, to his bride. That's right. See? Brought back, see, with the entire deity of God. How much of it? The entire deity of God. Showing the same visible signs, manifested himself like he did at the beginning, when he was manifested on the earth. So let me drop down. I know I'm repeating myself, but I just want to repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it, and repeat it. And so just make it just, you know, when something just becomes natural to you, that's what we want. That's what we want these things to be. When it's just natural. That you and God are one. That God is in you manifesting his promise. That's where we must be. We must be. And that revelation, it testifies to the whole promise for this day, the whole revelation for this day. And so I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but we're just trying to finish Sunday's message so we can start on tonight. Where do we worship at? The house of God, seated in present tense, showing the same visible signs. All right, now, this is tonight. Proving his word. This is 1964. He said some good things here. And I'm reading a little bit much into the prayer line, but I'm doing it for a reason, because he's going to say something that is really important. All right. How do you do, sister? I don't believe I know you. We're strangers. And remember now, he just got done saying the same signs, the same visible signs, the same works, the same everything. You're going to do it. And so now he's doing it. He's revealing the secrets of the heart. That's what he's doing. See, we're strangers. Now, here's a woman that I don't know. I don't know you. I have no way of knowing you, see? But do you believe that God could reveal to me by his word, see? Because he promised it. Why is he going to do it? How is he going to do it? He's going to do it by the word, and he's going to do it because he promised to do it in this day. Right? See, do you believe he could tell me something about you that would make you accept it? See, is that right? Knowing that it wouldn't be me, your brother, but it would be he, your Savior. Do you believe that? You're pending an operation. Now he's starting to tell her what it is. He don't know her. They've already agreed that. He don't know her. And so there's no way for him to know what's wrong with her. So there has to be a supernatural intervention here in order for him to know what's wrong with her. And she's agreeing to that. And he's really putting it on her. And he's going to do more. He's going to do more to the next lady. He's putting on her. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Brother Gumbaya and I were talking about that today. That it's time. It's time now to get put on the spot. Every one of us. We need to be put on the spot. Do I believe it? I'm reading it. I talk about it. The other preachers, they read it. They talk about it. But do we believe it? Do we 100% believe what we're reading? We must. See? Do you believe that? You're pinning an operation. You've been told you have to have an operation. Do you believe he can tell me what that operation is for? It's in the stomach. It's in the bowels. See? That's exactly right. You want to escape it. See? Do you believe now with this spirit here that you're in the presence of? Present tense now. See, bring it into the present tense. Do you believe this spirit here now that we're this atmosphere we're in right now? Do you believe that it could be bypassed, that you could escape this thing? See? The spirit of Christ all around us and standing upon me. You know something had to tell you because I don't know you. Do you believe by laying on hands that that would transmit the faith that I believe in with you, with your faith, and before God our Father, that you would be healed? Then Lord Jesus, she must have said yes. Then Lord Jesus, I obey your commands. When you said these signs shall follow them that believe. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Let our sister be made well. See, for the glory of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Go home. Just forget about it, see. Go on believing it with all your heart. That's right. Then, Brother Branham says, this is genuine healing. This is genuine faith. This is genuine scripture. It's scripture. It's genuine scripture. That means that it's the scripture, the word for this day. That means it's present tense. That means it's got to be manifested today, not something in another day. That was all scripture, but the genuine thing for today now, it's present tense. It was promised to be in this day, promised to happen in this day. See, the unadulterated word of God, see, made manifest and proved that he's not dead. That's what the word does. When the word of the age comes on the scene, when the spirit of the age comes on the scene and quickens the word of the age, then what does it do? It confirms, it vindicates that he is not dead, but that he is alive, that he's living. When you see these things, when you see the word revealed to your heart, you know he's living. Huh? And on the natural side, you see the healings, you see these things, you know he's living. That's the resurrected Christ. But when he comes on the scene and he reveals himself to you in the new birth, when he reveals himself to you, when the preacher's preaching and something quickens to you and you've never seen it before, and all of a sudden it's reality, it becomes real to you. That's the resurrected Christ. He's living. He's working. He's moving. He's manifesting himself in the present tense. the unadulterated word of God made manifest and proved that he's not dead. Oh, how can you doubt it, see? Now, he knowed who would and who would not. I don't. That's up to him. That's right. He knowed who would and who wouldn't before the foundation of the world. Paragraph 270. Now, if this lady be a stranger, now he's going to do it again, right? But now he's going to really challenge this time. And this time he's not just going to challenge this woman, but he's talking to us. He's talking to us, and he's asking us some questions. And we want to make sure we answer them right. Now, if this lady be a stranger, I don't know her, never seen her in my life. She's a young woman, much younger than me. But I've never seen her. And she's here for some purpose. And do you believe, now he's talking to her, he's asking her questions. Do you believe that these things that I've taught in the Bible, lady, to be the truth? Now he's putting her on the spot. He's asking, he wants to know. Do you believe this message I just preached, this proving his word, do you believe? See, I taught it right out of the Bible. Do you believe it to be the truth? You believe they are the truth. Do you accept it? Not because I said it, but because God said it. Do you believe? He's going to continue on now. Do you believe that we're living in the last days, when the Son of Man was to be manifested? Huh? Do we believe that? We know we're in the last days. And we know that that Luke 17 says that the Son of Man would be revealed in this day. We know that. But there's more. See? That would be all the Word. Now, I want to since it just come to my mind. He's talking about the Son of Man. He's talking about the revealing of the Son of Man, the manifestation of the Son of Man. And now, he's saying that will be when the Son of Man was to be manifested. And that would be. Now he's interpreting or he's explaining, saying that would be all the Word. Right? That's what he's saying. But this same scripture here in Luke 17 and Malachi 4, I know he said it on Malachi 4, and I think he said it right here too. So, Brother Brandon was talking about it, and he said it was promised in Malachi 4 that the Word would be made flesh. Is that right? And he was referring to Malachi 4. I can't remember if it was both of these scriptures, but it's the same thing because that's what he's referring to. And so he's interpreting that. Now, if you go read it, it's not going to say that. It's going to say that we're promised the spirit of Elijah, right? And in Luke 17, we're promised the Son of Man. And so he's talking about God in the form of a prophet, God in flesh, manifesting the promise of this day. So let's read it again and move on. Do you believe we're living in the last days when the Son of Man was to be manifested? That would be all the Word that's gathered up through Luther and Wesley and Baptist and all that, and the Pentecostals, see? All the Word gathered up now. It'd been building, coming through all the way. Now it's coming to all of that, to the manifestation, see, of the Son of Man. All gathered up. How did it happen? Huh? What was gathering it up? The shout, the message, the spirit of the age was bringing it together. The message was being spoken, and it was drawing that elected seed. It was drawing those genes of God, and they were being quickened to life, and they were coming together to bring forth what? To bring the fullness, to bring all of it together in manifestation. See, all gathered up to the revelation of what it's all been. Huh? Now, what's he talking about when he's talking about that it's all been? He's talking about the six seals. He's talking about the church ages. But what's he talking about when he's talking about the seventh seal? We know what it is. Now I'm back to the seventh angel was to open the sixth seal mystery. Did we not already read that? Did I put that in there twice? Yeah, I guess I did. I don't know how I did that. Okay. All right. The mighty God unveiled before us. I want you to notice another characteristic of Moses, and I'm skipping through that there, and you will take the blue. When he come out with the vindicated word of the hour, the commandments, he was a changed person. And so will you be. When you come from behind the human veil that would laugh at a meeting like this, that man would stumble at divine healing and say the days of miracles is past. You've dropped from behind that human veil there, that traditional veil, and everyone will know that something's happened to you. You will leave the old idea. You will leave the church's idea. You will leave your idea. You will leave every tradition and every creed and every dogma and everything else. You'll leave it. And people will know that you've been changed. They'll know you've been changed. Because now you're walking in the Spirit. You're walking by the Spirit. You're walking in the Word, the revelation of God in this day. You're walking in it. You're living it day by day. See, paragraph 129. Well, when you come out from behind the veil, you'll be in full view of the people then, that they can see that something's happened to you. And when that new birth takes place, it can't be hid. Now, you can become religious, and it can be hid. You can become religious, and nobody know it. You can start going to church, and nobody know it. There's some people like that. They don't tell nobody, and some people are very dogmatic about it. They said, that's my business, nobody's business. Religion is a thing you don't talk about. There's people like that. But what our prophet told us is that when that life comes on the scene, on the seed, that you can't hide it, that it's light, it's life. It has to manifest itself. And when Moses come out, he was changed. And he had to veil his face. There was a pillar of fire. There was a light that everybody knew. He had been changed. They knew it. And so everybody around you, they know you've been changed. See, the veiled word to the unbeliever, but in full view of the believer. It's veiled to the unbeliever, but you've come out of that old veil. You've come out of that denominational veil. You've come out of the worldly veil. You've come out of that veil, see? But now the word is veiled in you, the life, the veiled word to the unbeliever, but in full view of the believer. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right. So that means... What that means is there's people that can't see Christ in you. And they'll never see Christ in you because Christ is veiled. But the bride can see Christ in you because they know Christ. So when they see you, they see Christ. Does that make sense? That's why you can look at one another. And you can overlook the flesh, and you can overlook our faults and our failures and all of that. Why? Because you see the Word living in a flawed flesh, in a flawed body and all of that. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. But that thing that's living in you, it's perfect. It has no flaws. It has no mistakes. It has none of that. And it's bringing this in subjection all the time, every day, every way. Bringing it in subjection. See? 130. Then it was God in them days. It was God in a man. His son, Jesus Christ. And we believe that. Not just a prophet, see? Not just an ordinary man, an ordinary human. See? That's what the Jews believe. And that's I remember listening on the news not too long ago, and Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, he was talking, and so he thought he was making the U.S. and Israel closer, and that, but also keeping them up here and us down here. And I don't believe in Christ, but he was saying it like this, and I took it rather badly, because I didn't like it. I didn't like it when he said it. I didn't like the way that he said it. But he said, he was talking along, going along, and he said, and he was trying to pull us together in the religious realm. And he said, of course we know that Jesus was a Jewish rabbi. You know, he was just some man, some rabbi. He was one of our rabbis that you people mistook for the Messiah. You guys, you know, you were confused, and look at what you've done. You've turned the whole world upside down, and you still think he's God. No, the real truth is, your eyes were blinded. Your eyes were blinded so that you couldn't see God, because he was in a veil. He was in a veil of flesh, and God only revealed it to whom he would reveal it to. Because he was going to take a Gentile wife. He was going to take a bride. And so he was trying to show you people that he was going to do it. Back there in those women in Ruth and in these different ones. That there was going to be a Gentile bride. He was showing you. He was injecting that in there. And you can't get it out. They can't get it out. It's right there in their Bible, in the Torah. They can't get it out. No. Those women, God placed them in there. When Boaz come down to get Naomi, he got his bride. He got her. See? Now what was it? It was God in Christ, God in a man, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in a man, God in a man, and now it's God in men. Now it's God in men. See, the fullness of God in the Godhead bodily in his entire church. Praise God. Manifesting himself, fulfilling his word. That's right. Praise be to God. See, and we find God in all ages had skin. See, God in all ages had skin on him. Did he have skin in Adam's day? He had skin. He did. Did he have skin in Moses' day? He did. Huh? That was God in skin. Even God said, he said, you will be God to this people. And Aaron will be your prophet. You're going to be God so that you, when you want to say something, you just tell Aaron to go down there and say what you once said. God in all ages has been behind the veil. That's right. See, it just reminds me of a little story that happened down in the South. That's right. In a Christian home. And I don't want to read that because it's just going to take up too much time. But Brother Ram said there was a little boy. And they'd come and they were staying. They come from the farm. They were staying in the city there with the family. And so this little boy, he was scared of the storm. He was scared of the thunder and the lightning. And so you know the story. You know the story. And so Brother Branham starts telling this story. And then he breaks off. He breaks off. And so we're going to get this, just get this a little bit in here before we close. I know my time is getting short. So he starts the story about this little boy who's scared of the storm. Now watch where he goes. Watch this. See, and I told this to a man the other day when this piece had come out about the man being healed. And this same minister said, so this is a minister now. Somebody gets healed, and this minister says to Brother Branham, he said, they make a god out of you, Brother Branham. They make a god out of you. See? And well, he was a critic, so I thought, well, I'll just kind of break it off, you know, just a little bit. And so you just do that when you feel led to go that way. Sometimes you feel led to just, you know, water it down for them so they can swallow it, like Brother Branham did. So now it wasn't that he predestinated this one and that one, but it's just that he knew. He knew what you were going to do. So because he knew what you were going to do, then he could know that what it was. And so it's not like he just predestinated you to be who you are and you to be who you are. No. That's watering it down. Sometimes you don't water it down. Sometimes you just go ahead and poke it. That's what he's doing now. He's going to poke it. Some people don't like it when you say Adam was God. Some people don't like it when you say you were God. As I just said about the man a while ago. He said that's the worst thing the bride could do, or the elect, or the churches today, the message people today, is to say that they're God. They're one with God. Let me tell you something. That's a revelation. And that revelation came in this day. And that revelation proves so many things in this Bible. It proves it. I'm gonna point some of that out if I can, if I have time. See? And I said, that's not too far from the Scripture. And I don't want to hurt you, you know, but that's not too far from the Scripture. To be that. To be what? To be God. The people making you God. See? See, and I said, no. It isn't. See? I said, because Jesus called the prophets gods. See? That's right. God. And they say, well, you people tried to take the place of God. Well, the Bible says that Moses took the place of God. Is that right? He took the place of God. The reason they didn't like Jesus and they killed him was because he took the place of God. But God did it all. He's the one. You can't do it. It's him doing it. Elijah run beside that chariot. Could a man do that? All that distance? No. That was God. That was supernatural. On an old man. Was it Elijah that made that fire come down and burn up the rocks? Huh? Burn everything up? Said, that's not too far from the Scripture. Because Jesus called him God. 136. Now, well, you people try to take the place of God. That's not too far out. That's exactly what it is, see? That's exactly what it is. Are you reading with me? That's exactly what it is. You're taking the place of God. Now, how is it that we can be... How is it that that little boy who's afraid of the storm, who's afraid of the lightning, who's afraid of all of that, could be comfortable if his mother would come and sleep in the bed with him? Huh? What would give him that confidence? See, Brother Branham told a story one time about Billy Paul. And those days, Brother Branham was staying out late, working late, and going out on the streets preaching. And so one time, I don't know, it was maybe, I don't know what time it was, 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever it was. But Brother Branham said he was so tired. He was so tired. And Billy woke up and wanted to drink. And so in those days, they didn't have water in the house, but they had a bucket and a dipper. And so Brother Branham told him, said, the water's there. Just go get it. And he said, but Dad, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go in the dark. And he said, take me. And so finally, Brother Branham, he got up and he took his hand, and they're walking. They're walking towards the kitchen. And when they did, the boards aren't smooth like it is now. And so Billy tripped. He tripped. And when he tripped, Brother Branham had a hold of his hand. And so it kept him from falling. And Brother Branham said, oh God, hold me that I don't fall. God is using his body. He's using his body to hold one another up. He's using his body. But if there was ever a time that we have to be sure that we don't let Satan come between us, come between the body. We must not. We must protect one another. We must recognize that this is the children of God. This is the bride of Jesus Christ. This is the God's most favored people on the face of the earth. If there was, we shouldn't talk about anybody. We shouldn't run anybody down. But we should a million times that never speak against a brother or a sister at all. We shouldn't do it. That's the child of God. And whatever their problem is, God's going to fix that. God's going to take care of that thing. See, you people try to take the place of God. That's not too far out. That's exactly what it is, see? And so, you know, some people think sometime that it's an exaltation, that you're exalting. You're exalting the man, or you're exalting one another. I don't see it like that. I don't see it like that at all. What I see is that it's the Word proving itself. That's what it's doing. It's proving itself. See, it's not making me anything more or less. You're only what God said you are, what God made you to be. And that's where you have to leave it. That's where you have to accept it. And many times we have to overcome what Satan is telling us, what Satan is making us feel like, or what our mind is making us feel like. We have to overcome that and recognize that we're what God said that we are. And God is proving. See? He's confirming the promises of this day, the word of this day. God's confirming those things. And to me, the beauty of this, that we are one with Him, that we are manifesting Him, to me, it proves predestination. It proves it. It proves that He knew before the foundation of the world that you and Him were one, and that He put His seed in you. It proves that. It proves to me that there's only one form of eternal life. That's what this proves. Because you recognize that it's not another God, another God, another God, another eternal life, another eternal life. It's proving to you that you and God are one, and there's not anything between there. It's God in this veil of flesh. That's what it is. And that's the thing that they weren't getting it fully until now, when He's revealing Himself in His entirety in the fullness. And so now it proves it, because the prophet said over and over and over again, there's only one form of eternal life. So you either have Him or you don't. It's either Him manifesting in this flesh and that flesh and that flesh, or it's not Him. You can't. Can't do it. So to me, it even proves free moral agency. You say, how can it prove free moral agency? Brother Branham said that Moses made his choice. He made his choice. When he made his choice that he would rather be identified with those slaves. But he also made his choice. He was making his choice all the time. And that's what you're doing. Not just at the beginning when you're born again. Not just at the beginning when you accept the word. But you're continually making your choice. That's what free moral agency is. That's what free will is. You are making your choice every day, every day, every day. And your choice is to be led of the Spirit, to obey the Word of God, to know the Word of God. And every day that's what's happening in you. And sometimes the flesh is struggling, the mind is struggling, but God is there to move you and to guide you. So Moses had his back to the river. He had he's looking at the dust of Pharaoh and those chariots coming, and he had a choice. He cried out to God, and God said, "Don't cry." God said, "Speak. Speak." God wanted him to identify. God wanted him to vindicate the position that God put him in. Moses didn't put himself there. God called him when he was on the backside of the desert. And God was training him and training him, bringing him, bringing him, bringing him. He did the same thing with Elijah. He had a choice. His choice was to do the will of God. And the same thing is in you. And when God is in you, when God has called you, when the seed of God is in there, that's your desire. That's what the soul of God does to the bride. That's what the seed that he put in there before the foundation of the world. Elijah was a murderer. Cain was a murderer. Cain only killed one man. Elijah killed 450. 450. Who was in the will of God? Huh? Who was in the will of God? Moses made his choice to obey God. Elijah made his choice to obey God. Cain had a choice, and Cain refused to obey God. Was it given to him plain and simple? That's free moral agency. He said, if you do what your brother's done, you will be accepted. And he could not do it, and he rejected it. Elijah, when he was afraid and he wanted to run away. Moses, when he was crying and he wanted to run away. Huh? He didn't know what to do. God said, speak. And he spoke. He made a choice. God foreordained before the foundation of the world that Elijah was going to kill those 450 prophets, false prophets. Because that was going to be a sign and a vindication to the children of Israel in that day. And Elijah was the chosen vessel of God. He was the veil that God was going to use to destroy those 450 prophets. Cain was going to kill his brother and prove that he didn't have the seed of God in him. They had their choice. They both were making their choice right there. That's what this proves to me. Not that oh, we're an exalted people. No. That it's an exalted God who does what he wants to do, how he wants to do it, when he wants to do it, to whoever he wants to do it to. That's what this is saying. Joshua, he made a choice. Huh? He had a need. He recognized. He recognized something that God put in him. He recognized something that God gave him. And he spoke and told the sun to stand still. Huh? That sounds like God to me. Huh? That sounds like God. Who can stop the sun? Huh? Who can make the water stand up? Who can do these things? Who can make this thing, this altar completely burnt? Huh? Only God. Only God could do it. That's what the prophet was saying a while ago. He said, I don't know you. I don't know you. I've never seen you in my life. But if he tells me something that we both know that I don't know. You know I don't know it. I know I don't know it. But if he tells me something about you that only you know, will you believe it? Will you believe that it's him now? Huh? That's what people see in you. That's what they see in you. When they struggle with everything else, they said, but there's something about that person. There's something about that person that it, you know it's God. You know that it's God.
Okay, we I know it's time.
So this little boy, he tells his mama, he goes back to the story now. He's going back to the story. And he stops to put that in there. And now his mother told him to go to bed, and so he can't take it. The flashing, the thunder, the lightning, all these things. So he's calling his mama, he said, Mama, I'm scared. And so she comes up and she reminds him that we're Christians and that we believe in God and that God will protect us. And there's no need to be fear of these things. And so when he comes down to the end, he said, Mama, I believe all of that. I believe God. I believe we're Christians. I believe and believe, believe, believe. He said, but I want a God with skin on it. And didn't we read, Brother Branham said, that God has always had skin? That he's always had skin. There's always been a veil. God has always. And you look at what you are to your children. You that's what you are. That's what you are. What about to your lost colleagues at work? Your lost neighbors? What are you to them? If God has put in you the revelation of Jesus Christ in its fullness, in its entirety, then what are you? Who are you? What is your responsibility? Huh? We have a responsibility. The first thing we must do is recognize it for ourselves. We've got to get it here so it overcomes this. It overcomes this. And when it can overcome this, that is that we know it's not us, but that it's God, then we can have confidence. And when all of them are against us, when all of them, when we walk in the room and there's all of these different message people around or whoever they are, and whatever they are, and they're saying, oh, this is those people that believe in the rapture. They think they're in their air. That's okay. They let them laugh. It's been revealed. It's been revealed that this catching away is taking place. It's taking place. And this elected group of people, this revelation is catching them away, bringing them out of denomination, bringing them out of creeds, bringing them out of theology. It's bringing them out, and it's placing them in present tense in the body, in present tense. Not going to be one day. It's right now. She's sitting in heavenly places in Christ. That's right. What else did he say here? We'll stop right there. Let us stand together. Praise the Lord. Are you one with him? Has he revealed to you that you and him are one? And he said, the works that I do, will you do also? And he said that he will vindicate that. He's going to vindicate your life in every way that Christ is in you. And I thank God that I can see it. I can see Christ in you. I can see, when I go in other countries, I can see Christ. I can see Christ. And how do you see him? Because you see the Word living. Huh? You see somebody fighting the revelation. You fighting, and this revelation is the presence of God. You see them fighting that? That's not Christ. No. Christ is the living Word. Amen. Brother Goma, he'll come. Praise the Lord.
God living in the body. Oh, that's great. And you've gone from the Genesis. Yeah, that's exactly right. You remember Jesus Christ was God a man. He was God in a man.
Yes.
And that's the confusion. That's where the confusion comes. Because we are men and we are God. And that's the confusion. We are men, yes, but we are God. And that's it. And Adam was man. You know, you remember the Bible says, or the prophet says, that when Jesus Christ went to the tomb of Lazarus and cried, he was a man. You see that? That's very confusing. But when he said, Lazarus, come forth, that was God. That's it. When Adam in the Garden of Eden was worshiping God and everything was, he was God. But when he came here and deceived by and wanted to think that was a man. That's exactly right. When you are living this world, when you have it, all that, you're God. You're God manifesting God here on earth. But when you feel like, oh, I'm weak, that's man now. We're going to do that. We're going to come to that. That's exactly right. But man, God is that man always. It doesn't look like something that is liked or something that is like. That's why even when God told Moses to put that God, the Ten Commandments, he put them in a, you know, badger. What is badger here? Badger is like, in Kenya, badger is like, what is that that thing smells very bad?
Skunk.
It's like a skunk in Kenya. The badger is like a skunk. It's not something that smells good. It's something that you love. It's just something bad. That thing was, why didn't God tell him, why don't you get the right height, the right to walk, skin that is beauty? Jesus Christ said that when he was here on earth, there was nothing beauty that you can have in.
Praise God.
That's why people are confused. Yeah. There's nothing beauty in you as a human being. You're just like a man like any other. But God lives. That's great, Brother Don. Can we continue saying we are gods?
Amen.
And don't be ashamed. We are gods. God is living in us. God has come and tabernacled in his bride, brother.
Amen.
That's what everybody is refusing in this world. Because it's not revealed to them. It's revealed to us. It's God in a man. Let's pray. This is great liberation, Lord. This is great, Lord. We don't know really how to, what cannot bring it out the way it is, Lord. But we feel it in us, Father, that it's real. It's reality, Lord. We know it. We know it's reality, Lord, that you've come and tabernacled in your bride, Lord. Let people have. And that's what they were doing in Jesus' time. When you tabernacled in that one man, they loved, Lord. And he stood up and told them, can anyone accuse me of not taking every word that was promised about me, not manifesting it? The same thing, Lord. That the bride of the Lord, Jesus Christ, of today is manifesting every word that was promised for this day. Thank you, Father, for everything. Bless the people. Be with them, Lord. Heal the sick, Lord. We didn't know that Rhoda is sick, Father, but you know it, Lord. Touch that sister, Father, and I come out. And every brother, Brother Michael, Brother Richard, and everyone else that is made parts of this body, heal them and put strength in them. The greatest thing that you can do for them, Lord God, is put this faith, this revelation of this word. We commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. God bless you.